going to equip you. The Word is going to equip you with some powerful knowledge. How many of you know that the Scripture says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge? We've got to understand what the Word says. And what we're going to do today is we're going to expose some of the enemy's schemes, because we're going to learn of his ways and his strategy and his tactics so we can be ready to overcome the enemy. How many of you are ready to resist the devil and see him flee in the mighty name of Jesus? I recently read of a reporter who was interviewing an old man on his 100th birthday. Imagine. Then the reporter said to him, he said, "What are you most proud of?" And the old man replied with, "Well, I do not have an enemy in the whole world." And the reporter said, "Wow, what a beautiful thought. How inspirational." And the old fella said, "Yep, I outlived every last one of them." Okay. I want you to understand that if you live to 100 or even 120, you're always going to have an enemy, right? Because your enemy isn't going to die. Now, I've got some good news about your enemy today. One day he's going to be thrown into a lake of fire. One day he's going to be cast into a bottomless pit. I'm talking about your spiritual enemy today. He's real. His name was Lucifer. We call him Satan. We call him the devil. He is a real spirit being. And by the way, you need to understand that he is not in any way, shape, or form equal to God, right? He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything that's going on. He's not all-powerful like God is. He's not omnipresent like God is. He does have some power and some influence, but he is just a created being. And the Bible calls him in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, the Bible calls him the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. The accuser, John 12, 31, calls him the ruler of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls him the God of this age. Peter calls him your adversary, the devil, who roams about like a roaring lion. And I want to tell you what he wants to do with every single life in the entire world. He is in the business of deceiving and destroying humanity. Am I right? He's in the business of promoting sinful ways, sinful attitudes, and sinful lifestyles. He's in the bondage business. He doesn't want anyone to be free. He wants you entangled. But how many of you know whom the Son sets free is free indeed? Amen. Amen. He doesn't want you or your family to serve God. He doesn't want your grandchildren to follow God. He wants you to doubt God and His goodness. If Satan could have his way today, every single one of us would live in bondage through the evil passions and desires of our flesh. There's not a marriage within this body that would even stand. He would like to destroy every positive relationship that you have. He wants to mess up your kids, your finances, and your home. But if you are a believer in Jesus, you need to understand that you are engaged in warfare with Him. How many of you believe that? Last week we began a series of messages that I'm entitling Unblocking Your Answer. I believe that prayer is the key. How many of you believe in prayer? How many of you believe that God answers prayer? And what we did last week is we looked at the story of Daniel waiting on an answer to prayer. And we discovered that he had to wait literally 21 days for the answer to get to him. Now the good news is that the minute he prayed, God heard. Amen. But his answer was blocked from getting to him by a supernatural being called the Prince of Persia, right? But what we know is that God sent Michael, one of his great archangels, to help, and the forces of God prevailed. Amen. Daniel waited in prayer. Even though it was delayed 21 days, the answer finally came. And I just wonder, is there anybody today who says, "I'm sick and tired of having to wait on my answers to get here"? Amen. I'm ready for the answer to come. I'm ready to overcome the spiritual forces of darkness, to fast and pray, to believe the Lord. And let me tell you, we laid a biblical foundation that the moment that you pray, God heard you. How many of you have been praying for something? Well, I've got some good news for you today. God has heard your prayer. And let me tell you something, even though there may be principalities and powers that would try to stop it, the enemy may be able to delay your answer, but he cannot deny it. Come on, can we give the Lord Jesus a big hand of praise? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11 today. It'll be on the screen, in your app, or in your Bible. Amen. Amen. It says this, to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. We're going to dismantle the enemy's schemes today, and we're going to understand who he is and his way. So let me just rephrase this verse for just a moment like this. Satan cannot take advantage of us unless we don't know who he is and what he's up to and his schemes, right? If you don't know who Satan is, if you think he's playing, if you are willing to listen to his lies, if you think it's all kind of like a big game, I can assure you that he will take advantage of you. But the good news is that everything that we need is found written in the Word of God. Everything we need to be able to defeat Satan, to defeat the principalities and powers, is right here in the Word. And we've got to have knowledge because we are in a war. Even in modern day warfare, a great deal of money and expense is given to understand how the enemy thinks, what their plans are, how they're planning to attack, all of that. Because when you understand that, you can overcome and you can win. And I'm going to tell you about your enemy today, all right? I'm going to tell you about Satan. First of all, he's a murderer. And secondly, he's a liar. Let me read it for you. John 8:44. How many of you know that Satan's a liar? He says this. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And I want you to notice the next phrase. It says, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, some of you have heard me say it before. Some people speak Chinese. Some people speak Vietnamese. And Satan speaks lying with ease. Just like you speak English or Spanish or whatever other language you might speak, French up there for Brother Cedric. But anyway, just like you speak that, he speaks lies. Satan speaks lies. John says there is no truth in him. We're dealing with the essence of falsehood and deception. And how many of you know that if you believe a lie, it's going to affect your behavior? Am I right? If you believe a lie, it's going to affect the way you act and the way you think. I heard of some parents who told their kids lies to control their behavior. Now, I don't recommend that as a parenting technique, but these parents thought it was a good idea, right? And so let me give you a couple of these lies that parents told their kids in order to control their behavior. One dad came home from the store, gave his kids their new toothbrushes, and he said, listen, I've got these toothbrushes are connected to an app on my phone, and I'll be able to tell by looking at my phone whether you use these toothbrushes or not, and how good a job you did cleaning your teeth. And by the way, if it's not a good job, you're not going to get your allowance. How many of you think that they believed that lie, but it affected their behavior in a good way, and they brushed their teeth? Am I right? Let me tell you something. Believing a lie can affect your behavior. Another parent said this. They told their kids, listen, when the ice cream truck comes by, if it's playing music, that means that the ice cream truck has completely run out of ice cream. And so for 2 years, the kids stayed in the backyard. They heard the ice cream truck coming by, and they just told each other, oh, he's completely out of ice cream. There's no use even going out. Let me tell you something. If you believe a lie, it's going to affect your behavior. And let me tell you something, Satan is a liar. And what he wants you to believe is the lies of the enemy. He wants you to believe various and sundry things. And so I'm going to give you three very common lies that the enemy tries to propagate so that we can overcome him with what? The truth. Amen. Tell your neighbor we're going to beat down Satan with the truth today. Amen. So the reason why your prayer may be blocked, it might be because you believe the lie that, number one, Satan can attack you anytime he wants and however he wants. Satan wants you to believe he's bigger than he really is. Am I right? Satan wants you to believe that he can attack you anytime he wants, however he wants, however long he wants. And sometimes it kind of feels like that. Do I have a witness in the house? Have you ever went to a testimony meeting and the lady gets up and she says the same thing that she said every testimony meeting for the last 25 years? She gets up and she says, Satan has been after me all week long. He's been beating me down. Praise his name. How many of you know that lady's believing a lie? Am I right? She doesn't understand who she is. She doesn't understand the authority that has. Now, I'm not saying that the enemy can't attack you. How many of you have ever experienced an attack of the enemy? How many of you have experienced the accusation of the enemy? How many of you have ever had a fight with him? Amen. It's going to happen, right? But here's the good news. If you are under attack, it's because God believes that you can overcome Satan and you can win. Now, let me just explain to you how all this works in the spiritual world. You must understand that there are limits to what Satan can do and what he cannot do. While he is known as the God of this age, by the way, small g, you and I serve the eternal capital G-O-D of all of the ages. And let me tell you something, God has Satan on a leash. I want you to get a mental picture of that in your mind. He can go so far, but then God says, that's far enough. And you have to understand that the God that you and I serve is sovereign, especially when it comes to us as believers. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Anyone who's a child of God, just wave at me for a minute. Amen. You're a child of God. Do you think God would put you in a situation where you would absolutely be overcome and there's no possibility for you to win? I don't believe that He would. And let me ask you a second question. How did you raise your kids? Did you shield them from every difficulty? Hope not. Did you keep them from every fight that they ever had? Because if you did, when they get out into the real world, they're going to face some difficulties. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now let me just tell you a little story that's true, okay? And it's about my own little kiddos, right? Derek. He's 36 now, but when he was 2.5 years old, he had a rock with a gold Sunday school star on it. How many know what a gold Sunday school star is? It's a little piece of star, a little paper star you put on there. And he loved that little rock. He carried it with him everywhere he went. It was down in his pocket for about 2 weeks. He had that rock. And he was outside playing, and the neighborhood kid said to him, he said, he liked that rock. And he took Derek's rock away from him. And so Dustin, his big brother, Dustin's about 5.5. Dustin comes up and he tells this kid, who's about his size, about his age, he says, give my brother his rock back. And the kid says, no. Well, Dustin came into the house crying. He was upset. And he said, you know, I don't understand it. You know, I told him to give the rock back and he wouldn't. And so me being who I am, I guess, a pastor even at that time, I told him, I said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk back down there and tell that kid, if you don't give Derek his rock back, you're going to get it and you're going to get it hard right in the face. You say, Pastor, are you teaching your kids to be a bully? No, I'm not. Who's the bully? The one who stole the rock. Am I right? I said, you're going to get it right in the face. You say, aren't you supposed to teach your kids to turn the other cheek? Well, let me tell you. There's another principle in the Word. that says defend the weak. And Derek was a little bit too small. And so Dustin said, I'm gonna defend the weak. And I remember that day absolutely very plainly. Actually, I was kind of peeking out the window to make sure what was happening. But Dustin got irritated and he got upset. And I'll never forget it. He pounded out of that house. He's 5 years old. He went running two doors down, ran right up to that kid. His fist was all like this. He said, give Derek his rock back right now or you're going to get it. Well, about that time, the mother must have saw what was going on or heard it. She came running out of the house. She saw what was going on. She made the kid give Dustin his rock back. And interestingly enough, they shook hands instead of fighting. Come on, it turned out all right. There wasn't any violence that took place. But let me tell you something. You should have seen the way Dustin walked back from that encounter. Oh, man, he was the man. He got Derek's rock back, and he gave it to his little brother. He was only five. And I said all that to say this, that God allows conflict with the enemy in our lives so that we can know who we are, so that we can know how to resist him, so that we can learn that God is behind us and for us and believes in us. Satan can't not just have his way with us. In fact, if you study the book of Job, you're going to learn that Satan had to ask permission to go and test and to try Job. The first two chapters of Job are fascinating. If you read it, it's fascinating. Satan appears before God in heaven, and God says to him, where are you coming from? And he says, well, I've been going to and fro and back and forth in the earth, walking in it. And God says, he begins to brag about Job, right? He says, well, have you looked at Job? Have you considered Job? Don't you see how great he is? There's nobody like him. He's blameless. He's upright. He fears God. He shuns evil. You see, God had confidence in Job. That's why he allowed it. Him to be tested. And I'm going to tell you today that if you're facing some tests in your life, if you're facing some battles in your life, the God of heaven has already looked at Satan and said, you know something? My child, my one that I've delivered, my one that I rescued with my precious blood, they have the power and the strength to resist you, and I believe that they can win. Well, the enemy says to God, Satan says to God, well, sure, Job serves you. You've got a hedge all around him, and, you know, I can't get to him. And he said, but if you'll remove that hedge, he'll curse you to your face. And listen to what God says. God told Satan this far and no further. I'm telling you that God has Satan on a leash. Amen. Job chapter 1 and verse 12. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. And you know, if you've ever studied, that you know what happened. Job lost everything. Later on, he got double for his trouble. Come on. But he stayed true to the Lord. The same thing happened in chapter 2. He said, if I touch his body, he'll curse you to your face. And Job 2 and verse 6 says, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life. I don't want to get into all that Job had to go through, and I pray that none of us have to be tested like that. He was a special guy. But what I want you to see from this is that Satan doesn't have as much power as he likes to tell you that he has. You say, Pastor, all of that's in the Old Testament. I don't think it applies to us. It does apply to us because Jesus said this. Jesus said this in Luke 22:31. It says, and the Lord said, this is Jesus' word, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. In other words, Satan had to come to God and ask for permission. Let me tell you something. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, the one that loves you, the one that created you, the one that cares for you, I'm going to tell you something. He's got your interest, best interest in heart. And the truth is that God does let us go through stuff. As part of the human race, we're going to have to go through some stuff, some giants in life. We're going to face some obstacles. But in the end, your faith in God is going to prevail, and your faith is going to come through. It's going to be tested and refined like pure gold. Come on, can we give Jesus a big hand today? You say, well, Pastor, I read in the Word that the enemy can come in like a flood. Yes, he might try to do that. But the Scripture says the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. Amen? You say, well, what if the enemy forms a weapon against me? I've got good news for you. There's no weapon that's formed against you that's going to prosper. Well, Pastor, what if he does stuff I don't like? I can guarantee you the enemy is going to do stuff that you're not going to like. But I'm going to tell you one thing. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever you're facing today, God believes in you enough that He says, go ahead and test them, go ahead and try them. But I'm here today to tell you that you're going to win, you're going to prevail, you're going to seek me, and you're going to find that there is joy that comes in the morning. I just wish we'd start looking at ourselves like God looks at us. Because you see, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, I'm too weak. I'm just not able. I just cannot. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God looks at you and He says, you're more than a conqueror. You're a winner. I've given you all the authority that you need. I've given you all the victory that you could ever have. Let me tell you something. Our God sees us as champions. Amen. You say, well, I feel a little heavy. Amen. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Have you ever known anybody to pray a Chicken Little prayer? How many know who Chicken Little was? I got to get some older people in here. Y'all are getting way too young. Chicken Little looked up at the sky and he said, it's falling. The sky is falling. And some people pray like that. They say, the sky is falling. Oh no. What am I going to do? The sky is falling. Let me tell you something. God gave you the authority. Tell the sky to remain in the sky. Come on. Stand up and rebuke the enemy. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm just trying to tell you who you are in Jesus. You're a victor and you've got authority to overcome every single trial, every single problem. You're going to march through this world as a champion. Come on. I like to preach that point all over again. That was fun. Amen. Amen. And then there's another lie that the enemy might try to tell you. You might believe this lie. And it may hinder your ability to see your prayer answered. And this is the second lie I'd like to talk to you about. Satan has them blinded so they will never see. That's a lie. But the devil like to tell you, I've got your loved ones that you're praying for, your family members that you're calling out to God for. I've got them so blinded that they will never, ever see. That's not the truth. It's absolutely not. How many of you remember that Jesus, when he was tempted by the enemy came and he twisted a little scripture? Right? You remember that. The enemy twisted scripture. And he will try to twist scripture for you. If you've been around Christianity for any length of time, you've probably read or heard someone talk about or teach about 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4. Let me read it for you today. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now let me tell you something. If you just read that scripture, you pull it all out of its context, and you meditate on it, and you think about it, it's going to be like you put a giant, giant boulder on your back. You're going to think, well, I guess God can't do anything. The God of this world has their minds blinded. There's nothing God can do. There's nothing we can do, and it'll sink so deep into you. But let me tell you something. I've got good news today. God can absolutely unblind their mind. You can't just take one verse out of its context. You've got to take the whole passage. How many of you are with me? Don't stop at reading that verse. Read the next couple of verses and you're going to be encouraged. How many of you are ready to get encouraged? How many of you believe that God can save your family members that don't know Christ? How many of you believe that God is able to do those things? I remember when I was about, I was in Worthington, I suppose 10th grade, and I came in and to the house, and there was my mother, and she had been praying. Her face was in the sofa, and she got up, and She had been praying and calling out my name to the Lord in prayer. Oh, how many of you know that's powerful, right? Amen. Prayer works. But this is what the Word says. The next verse that after it talks about blinding the minds, Satan has that they're blinded by the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, Paul says this, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Well, what do I do if the enemy has blinded the minds of those I'm praying for? What do I do? What's the strategy that God gives us here? This is what He tells us to do. Just keep preaching Jesus. Just keep preaching Jesus. Take every opportunity that you have to lift Him up as Lord. We're not to take our light and hide it underneath a bushel basket. Come on, we're to be like a city that's set on the hill. We're to lift up Jesus because when He's lifted up, He will draw all men unto Himself. Now, I'm not telling you to get into an argument. I'm not saying cram Jesus down somebody's throat. But let me tell you something. In everyday conversation, it's amazing if you work at it, how you can just put Jesus right in there. How you can give praise to Jesus. What I'm telling you today is preach Jesus. And then continue to serve them. Notice what it says. It says, Paul says, "And ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." That's what we're to do. We're to continue to serve, right? Amen. Do what we can to minister to those people who don't know Christ. Care about them. Pray for them. How many of you know when you pray for somebody, you're serving them in a powerful and a wonderful way? Amen. Serve your loved ones. Invite them over to the house for dinner. Go on an outing. Enjoy. And then Paul tells us that we're to remind ourselves of our own conversion to Jesus. That's what he tells us to do. I wonder, is there anybody here who can remember back before you found Christ how blinded your mind was to the gospel? Do I got a witness? Do you remember how that Satan had your mind blinded? But how did God break through to you? Now remember, this passage is all in the context of a verse that says that the God of this world blinds the minds of the unbelievers. Now look at this. This is great. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. It says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." He's saying, remember back when God's light shone in your heart. You remember how blinded you were? Let me tell you something. What He did for us, He can do for somebody else. And this is what I want to say. If God has healed blinded eyes, how many of you know God heals blinded eyes? All through the New Testament, you see Jesus opening the eyes of the blind. How many of you think that it is not impossible for God to unblind somebody's mind? Come on, can we give God a big praise today? And then secondly, since when can darkness resist the light? The same God who spoke to darkness. Now think about it. This is what Paul's saying. The same God who said, "Let light come out of darkness." And all of a sudden, the gases formed. I don't know how it all happened, but all of a sudden, light came bursting forth out of the darkness. That is the same God who said He is not willing that any should perish, but all might come to repentance. If that God who was able to bring forth light out of darkness, I'm here today to tell you He can make His light shine in their heart. Can we give Him a big hand of praise? You see, we've got to believe. We've got to believe that God can save even the most difficult person. How many of you believe that? The most difficult, hardened person. The one who's hardened his heart. The one that's away from God. God can save them. You can take that most hardened person if you put them in the right circumstances, with the right witness, in the right situation. I'm here to tell you, they're going to come to the Lord. You say, "Well, Pastor, what is my job?" Your job is simple. It's to keep praying, to keep believing, to keep preaching Jesus, to keep serving them, to keep seeing by faith that they are going to come to the Lord and to keep claiming the promises of God? How many of you believe that there's a promise for that? The Scripture says this. It says, this promise is unto you and to your children. Come on. It says this in Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. You can stand on the Word. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? We are unmasking the enemy. You see, when you believe that Satan just has them blinded, that there's nothing you can do about it, nothing God can do about it, let me tell you something, it's hard to have faith. But when you realize that God can and indeed will and is interested in bringing them to salvation, you're going to pray like never before. Let's pray like never before. Let's believe God like never before. Let's go into our prayer closets and say, God, we do wrestle with the principalities and powers. Oh, we're not fighting against our children that are away from the Lord. We're not fighting with those who have other lifestyles. No, sir. We're fighting with the devil, the principalities that have lied to them, that the truth and the light of God might come into their hearts. Ooh. Man. Amen. We're unmasking the lies of the enemy today. Amen. I'm going to give you the third most common satanic lie. This is one that the enemy has used successfully to quiet the people of God for hundreds of years. Especially in this day and age, he uses this lie. Millions of people who are Christians actually believe this lie. And let me tell you what it does. It causes them not to pray. It causes them to fall into a state of melancholy. It causes them to think, feel bad about themselves. And this is the lie. You aren't holy enough to have your prayers answered. That's what the devil would like to tell you. You aren't holy enough to have your prayers answered. You know, the enemy's just so predictable. This is what he does before you get saved. Now, tell me if I'm telling the truth or not. Before you give your life to Jesus, when you're thinking about it, he'll tell you this. You're as good as anybody else. You've made a few mistakes, but, you know, you haven't murdered anybody. You're not in jail. There's a lot of people that are worse than you. You haven't sinned against God. You haven't killed anybody. You don't need Jesus. But how many of you know that the minute you give your life to Jesus, the minute you cross over into a place of faith, the devil, your accuser, will change his tactic. He will start reminding you of everything that you ever did in your entire life, into your entire past. He will say, you know what you are? You're a dirty, rotten, no good for nothing sinner. What makes you think that God is going to listen to you? You might as well stop praying because you know you're not righteous enough. You're not holy enough. You haven't lived a pure enough life. You are really a giant no good for nothing mess. How many of you know that that's what the devil tells his people, God's people? He's telling them you might as well stop praying. Revelation 12:10 tells us that he is the accuser of the brothers, the accuser of the brethren. He's accusing me. He's accusing you. He wants to keep us quiet. But I want to say something today, just for a moment. There's a little bit of truth mixed in. Into this point. Because, gentlemen, how many of you realize that the Scripture says that if we treat our wives poorly, it's going to hinder our prayers? Am I right? If we treat our wives bad, if we don't respect them as the heirs of life together, let me tell you something. You know what? Our prayers can be hindered. But how many of you know if we're treating our wives right, our prayers cannot be hindered? Amen. Amen. And there's other scriptures that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Let me tell you what that's talking about. That's someone who absolutely says, you know what, God, I'm going to keep on doing this. I don't care what you say. I'm going to keep sinning. Let me tell you, certainly that's going to hinder your prayer life. That's going to hinder your prayer. But let me tell you something. Do I have anybody in the house who's repented of your sins? Amen. You've asked the Lord to forgive you. You've walked away. Come on. Then let me tell you what you are. You are a son and a daughter of God. Just put your chest out a little bit. Lift your head high. I'm talking to sons and daughters of God today. Hebrews 4:16 says this. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Confidence. So that we may receive what? Answers to our prayer, mercy, and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't come before God as second-class citizens, right? We come with confidence. What is our confidence in? What's our confidence in? It's not in what we have done. What is our confidence in? Our confidence is in the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wipe our sins away. Amen. The only way we can approach His throne is by the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. So the next time that the enemy starts reminding you of your past, he starts telling you that you're not good enough, he starts telling you of every failure that you've ever had, you remind him that your sins, that the things that you have done are now under the shed blood of Jesus, that God doesn't even remember them anymore. And then just remind him as well of your future and his future. Come on, somebody. Tell him, look, I'm going to live with our God, my God, in heaven forever and forever. And you are going to be cast into the lake of fire. So just know what your future is. My past is redeemed and I'm all right with God right now. Besides that, how many of you realize God does not answer prayers on the basis of your goodness? There's a little phrase in the Word. It says, according to your faith. Right? According to your faith. It doesn't say God's going to hear you according to your goodness. It doesn't say that. You see, the enemy would rather have you in a corner feeling bad about all the things that you did or didn't do, about your past, about this and that. He would rather have you doing that than standing up and praying a prayer of faith and believing God. Let me tell you something. It's not according to our good deeds. It's according to our faith. That scripture is found over and over again in Scripture. It doesn't say according to your own personal holiness and righteousness. Amen? Amen. If he wants to talk to you about your righteousness, what you do, if the enemy talks to you about your righteousness, you tell him, listen, there's been some righteousness that's been imputed to me. It's been given to me. It's been given as a gift. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Come on. Amen. He became sin for us that we might receive and have given to us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise today. Amen. One more verse today I want to leave you with. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Amen. I'm just here today to tell you that God is saying yes. The Lord's saying yes. I thought he was saying no. No. Let me tell you something. If you have a promise given to you from the Word, he's saying yes. Right? How do you know that, Pastor Bob? Because 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says this. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, not just Jesus has made, God has made. That gets to include all the Old Testament promises as well. Hello? I'm just telling you. How many promises are there in the Word? Does anybody know? They've counted them, about 4,000 promises in the Word. It doesn't matter how many promises God has made. This is what it says. They are yes in Christ. They are yes in Christ. They are yes in Christ. Did you get that today, church? They're yes in Christ. The promise for your personal healing is yes in Christ. The promise that you can be an overcomer is yes in Christ. The promise that you're going to win the victory in this battle that you're in is yes in Christ. Come on. I'm just here today to tell you that he is saying yes. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That's why it's right to say amen in church. Do I got any? I got an amen corner over here. How about an amen corner over here? How about this corner? Oh, come on. It gets more powerful as it goes to the left for some reason. I'm just telling you, Jesus is saying yes. Let's stand up and believe God like never before. Oh, yeah, the enemy's certainly going to try to block our prayers, but he cannot win. The only way he can win, let me tell you what he can win, how he can win. If you give up. And I don't think I'm talking to quitters today. Come on. I'm not talking to people who put their hand to the plow and look back. Hello? I'm not talking to people who start down a road and then don't finish it. I'm looking to completers. I'm looking to prevailers. I'm looking today at people who know that when they stand firm on the Word, when they put both feet down on the Word of God and say, you know something, I am not moving towards the rear. Absolutely not. There's only one direction I'm going, and that's forward with my God. Come on. We can win if we believe Him. Would you stand with me today? Thank you for just letting me share today.